good morning, but after the Infic service, it's good afternoon. Well, it is great to be here again. If you don't know me, I'm Paul. And our wee boy in Finland, who's hopefully happy to play Gritch. And some of you have known us for many, many years. Some of you have first time seeing us going, what are these guys? What have they been doing? Why are they wearing these funky shirts? That apparently is our only set of clothes, because when you see the photos. Well, we have been in South Africa for about 3 years. Came back in December. We were living in a township called Soshanguve, which is north of Pretoria, for anyone who knows South Africa. In fact, some of you here got to come and see what we were doing, which was great for us. We were working with an organisation called Interchange. Interchange are small teams around the world living amongst the poor, the marginalised. And so we were part of a team of five in South Africa. And it was partly due to the partnership of this church, of many people here, that we were able to go. So first of all, I want to start by thanking you. Thanking you for your commitment to prayer, to the financial commitments, to the emails that got sent to us, to the messages, the encouragement towards us throughout our time there. And it was a very formative time for us. It was really hard at times, but also really amazing. And during the lunch, we'll give more in-depth details of what actually we did and what it looked like. But over the next, I've got my half, and then we'll do our half. We'll just give you a snippet. And to get excited to find out more. So hopefully that'll be the reason you're coming, not just for the free lunch, but whatever works for you. So anyway, we went to South Africa with a question of how can we serve the community and use our skills to walk and work with our neighbours. We wanted to be part of the transformation of Soshanguve. This meant we got involved in areas that really suited our abilities, our skill sets. So this looked like family work, kids work, youth work, tutoring, sports. And they're all meaningful things. But as we went through our time starting to discern if we would continue on in South Africa after our 3 years, we started thinking to ourselves, what would happen to these activities that we started when we left? Would they continue? How could they continue? So this led us to the next question. How can we invest in the people that we are already connected with so that they can continue the activities, the work, the different things that were going on? I want to read a passage from Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 18, which is a very short passage. This is where Peter is preaching, and he quotes the prophet Joel. And he says, in the last days it shall be, God declares, and I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I was thinking about this passage, and part of it really stands out to me is God says he pours his spirit out on all flesh. On all flesh. So when we go to places of poverty, of violence, of chaos, we can start to forget that God's already moving in those places, that God is already there. We might start to develop the mindset that we're bringing God with us. And if you have those thoughts, you start thinking, start condemning that area because you're like, oh, God isn't there. You start condemning that area. But instead, if you go with the attitude that God's already there, then you start to think, how can I partner with him? What is he doing? What are the assets that are already in that community how can I bless that community? And this passage saying, pouring its spirit in all flesh, is a challenging one. And it comes up against your own prejudices. And in a country like South Africa, with the recent history of apartheid, where blacks and whites were kept separate, this is a powerful verse. It doesn't matter what colour your flesh is. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you are. It doesn't matter what culture you're from. God is pouring His Spirit out on you. Now, being white in a township, who is in the extreme minority? As one of our local friends said to us as we were leaving, it's like, you guys, there's minorities, but you're like the only white people here. This likes to remark, I think, in the colour of my skin. Because when we went after furlough last year, we went back. It's like, Paul, before you went, you're like, oh, you had a bit of tan, you started to fit in. And he's like, you've come back, and you're white. And it's gone already. I've only been back for a couple months, and my tan is gone. So we're obvious outsiders. But we didn't want to look like the colonial people who were helping the poor black people. We wanted to empower our neighbours and unlock the potential that each of them has to lead and seek neighbourhood transformation themselves. Now, the Acts passage talks about how young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. How do we know what the young and old are thinking about? How can we join them in what they imagine and hope for in their community? We need to listen. Spending time listening to the local voices helped us as a team in Soshanguve tune in to what our neighbours thought about interchange, good and bad, about what they saw as the issues in their community and what they wanted to do about it. So this looked like us going to visit older people in their homes, having a wee chat with them, an opportunity to pray with them. And it also looked like listening to our teenagers at our Saturday hangout that we had. And through this process, we found opportunities for our neighbours to support their own community, such as painting a wooden climbing frame at an orphanage. Our teenagers did that. Or starting a vegetable garden, putting on a fun day. These are only small things, but the idea was to encourage them to start thinking bigger and bigger how they can serve their own community. And in the Acts passage, in verse 18, it mentions the Spirit being poured out on servants. This challenges the economic divide. South Africa has one of the largest gaps between rich and poor in the world. And this leaves those that have none feeling disillusioned and with a mindset of entitlement. They expect to be given what they need rather than having something to give. One of Jesus' most famous miracles is the feeding of the 5,000. For those who know the story, you'll remember it's due to a boy giving his packed lunch to Jesus that every person was able to eat. The boy gave what he had to Jesus, and Jesus multiplied it. And we all have something to give, and Jesus can multiply it. And it's with this thought we start an apprenticeship with some local leaders, some of our neighbours who we saw that leadership potential in. And this consisted of about 12 young people that some we had known for a while, some we just got in contact with because they had a real, they were excited about what was going on. Some were just out of school, some were at university, some were employed, some unemployed, but all of them had a heart to see Soshanguve flourish. So over a 4-month period, we walked with our local leaders and helped develop their personal understanding, the ways they connect with God, and how they can serve their community. Alongside this course, we had opportunities for them to practically lead through sports and tutoring, youth work, kids work, a reading group. And most of those who started with us continued to the end and beyond. They've started to take over leadership of some activities that we began or that were already going on when we joined the team. For example, our teenage hangout, that was one of the first things Debbie and I started when we got there. Something really close to our heart. It's now being led by a couple of young guys who are part of the group who are now leading it. And a young lady who really has a heart to work with teenage girls. Now they will lead the group differently and in ways better than us. And we trust them because they have the hearts for those young teenagers. And we know that they are going to lead and the Spirit is working in them. And it's a blessing as we discern it was time for us to leave South Africa. It is a blessing for us and a privilege to know that many of those things are continuing on and other things are happening as we left. To know that God is still there, He's still moving, and the Spirit is still at work. So before Debbie comes up to share a couple of stories about some of those apprentices, I want to just share this poem that will be up on the screen. And it's quite an impactful poem for us. And it says, "Go to the people, live with them, learn from them, love them. Start with what they know, build with what they have. But with the best leaders, when the work is done, the task accomplished, the people will say, 'We have done this ourselves.'" Thank you.
So I'm going to tell you about a couple of our friends from SOCH who did our apprenticeship and who we just had the joy of walking with during the last 3 years. So first up is Tulani, who is a 20-year-old guy, from SOCH Angubi. We got to know him quite early on in our time. He was part of the basketball team, which was one of the first ministries our team had started when they moved into SOCH Angubi back in 2007-2008. Paul had struck up quite a natural relationship with Tulani straight away, but Tulani was already good friends with Luke, our team leader through the basketball team. He was also already involved in his church where he was leading a Sunday school class. He just is amazing with kids. This picture kind of shows what he's like. And so we kind of had questions about what we could add in terms of him already having those good relationships. But then a friend helped us realize that actually investing in Tulani, we were investing in a future leader as well. And so Paul ended up having guitar lessons with Tulani every week, although Paul would not say he's a particularly good guitar player, but it's again that using what we have, and it meant they gave Paul a reason to practice, as well as like a weekly connection for the two of them, which developed into a real like natural supportive relationship. Tulani was also part of our teenagers group that we talked about, and then was a leader with us on our camps and our kids clubs as well. And he actually kept that "See You, Jimmy" hat, and I've seen pictures of him still wearing it even like after we left. So he was a big fan. But he was like the best person to have around at camp. He was one of those guys that just saw what needed done and got on with it, as well as just loving all our kids really well. And as we got to know him, we saw that actually for Tulani there was a real need to have good male role models in his life. He had a difficult relationship with his dad, but we also got to see that amazing love that he had for kids, that servant's heart and that passion that he had as well. Paul walked through Tulani's applications for university, helped him as he was trying to decide what to do with that, and mentored him as part of our apprenticeship as well. And it's such a joy that Tulani is now the main leader of our kids club that we were part of when we were there. So it was such a gift to see him develop and then take on leadership himself. The next person I want to tell you about is Miponi, who she's 23. She kind of grew up all around the area, but had been living in Soweto before she moved to Soch last year to be part of our apprenticeship. In Interchange, we really value hearing one another's stories. And so quite early on in the apprenticeship, we all shared our timelines, our life stories in small groups. So I got to hear quite early on how Miponi had, she lost her mum at a young age and had stayed with different family members, had had quite a difficult upbringing. And I think she was 16, she was living in a shack by herself with no one else around. She had actually come to Soshanguve previously in 2008 to stay with an aunt and had connected with the team then for a short time, she'd been part of a Bible study. But she was amazed hearing other people's stories as well and knowing that she wasn't the only one who'd been through times like that. But she wasn't defined by her history. She wasn't someone who came across as a victim. She came across full of love and passion, and she was a joy to have as part of her apprenticeship as she just embraced all the different opportunities before her. During our mentoring time, she was always talking about how can we do this more in other places and dreaming about new activities in new neighbourhoods. And she's now on the team. She's staff with Interchange in Soshanguve, has a paid position there, which is really exciting. One of my favourite moments with Miponi was we were doing food shopping for camp. And I'd quite often find that my friends would defer to me in these situations, like, oh, what should we get? Like, how are we going to cook this and stuff? And I would often try to resist that because I didn't have all the answers anyway. And so I was like, no, Miponi, I know you can decide this. You're going to cook, that's fine. And she stopped and turned to me and she's like, Auntie, are you trying to empower me? I was like, well, I guess I am trying to empower you. And it was one of those things where that power imbalance was something that I was always so aware of, you know, being there as a white Westerner and not wanting to take charge of situations. But I think with Miponi, she taught me that, like, it's not that I had all the power. She has power herself. She has autonomy. She can make choices, all that stuff herself. And sometimes the best thing for me to do was actually just to step out of the way, to let her get on with things. And to trust Miponi and to trust God in her as well. As Paul said, we had ups and downs during our last 3 years in Soshanguve, but also it was a privilege to partner with God and to partner with our friends during that time. We often felt like we didn't really know what we were doing and that what we were doing wasn't enough. But when it came to the end of our time and kind of our leaving party, there was time for people to feedback to us, and what a lot of people thanked us for wasn't the teaching of teenagers or, you know, that question you asked me in mentoring. It was just the love that we had shown, and that was, you know, that was what we felt like God had called us to do, and I think that's the way that he was working through us during that time, and I know that the love that we received is something that will stick with us as well. I often prayed that God would use the work of my hands and my heart, and that was, it felt like that was him saying to me, that was how it was used, you know, and that nothing invested in love is wasted. As in fact, a friend from South Africa who speaks out often against injustices there, I saw he'd written this morning. Love is certainly the most powerful weapon we have to change the world, because even when we don't see immediate changes on the outside, love is still at work. It works under the surface, softening callous hearts, healing brokenness, transforming hatred, including the excluded. Love changes from within, love never fails in the end. And now we just moved last week to Bridgeton. We're very happy to be back in Glasgow. We're discerning what neighbourhood we'll live in the future. We still want to live in a lower income area and be part of our community. Paul is working full-time as a chemistry teacher again. And we want to work out how to live out these lessons. How do we listen and watch and see where God is working and partner with him? And how do we continue to live out what we've learned, that anything invested in love does not go to waste? And it was such a gift to me to be here this morning, and I can't see where she is now, but see Lauren getting baptized, because obviously that's God's story in her life that she's sharing, and Anna's here as well. We had a little group together like 5 years ago where every Monday night we would do daft things and talk about stuff, but just having been able to share part of her journey back then and then seeing where she's at now, I'm just so blessed to be able to see that, and knowing again that anything that we're investing in love, it isn't wasted. And so what about you? Where is God inviting you to partner with him and to invest in love? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the love that you pour out to us. And I thank you that we get to partner with you and to be part of that love going out into the world. God, I pray that we would each trust you with the work of our hands and our hearts. And God, would we listen to you? Would we look for you at work? Would we hear when you're drawing our attention to a specific person or a specific activity? And would we entrust all that we are doing and all that we are to you? Thank you for your love, and thank you for your goodness. Amen.